Hi, this is Steve from Survive to Thrive, a radio network. We hope you're finding the information on the Survive to Thrive radio program both beneficial and informative. Fridays will bring you replays of my most popular shows with occasional live appearances. We have our lineup for the rest of the week of talk show hosts together to give you the best information and points of view available on the radio. They're certainly the most pertinent and timely. Monday's Darren is on with his show, Radical Health. Steve St. Clair and Darren are on Wednesday with Health Freedom. Russ Dizdar is on Tuesdays with Shatter the Darkness, and Hawks Town is on Thursdays, and me on Fridays. So stay tuned to SurviveToThriveNetwork.com, or you can go to SteveQuayle.com. Click on the radio Listen Live at the top of the page of SteveQuayle.com to bring you to all the new sites, and especially to be able to click on the important radio information. Now, ladies and gentlemen, remember, in these trying times, it's incredibly important to stay healthy. Keep yourself well-nourished with organic fruits and vegetables, and remember to take Enerfood every day without fail. Drinking a healthy smoothie with Enerfood and coconut milk powder from EnerHealth Botanical provides you with easily absorbable nutrition from superfoods that are densely packed with essential nutrients, all of which support optimal health. The guys at EnerHealth continue to offer special pricing to our listeners. They also offer the Survival Pack and Herbal Emergency Packs, as well as their tasty immune-supporting coffee, Nutra Cafe, and their hot cocoa blend, Coco Mojo, which is one of my wife's favorites, both infused with immune-strengthening medicinal mushrooms. Now, they're wonderfully flavorful and very, very healthy. Check out all their specials at SurviveToThrive.net or click on the EnerHealth banner at SteveQuayle.com. In fact, listen, these guys have one of the best deals I've ever seen. They have their immune pack, which is one Enerfood, one coconut milk powder, and their daily immune support, which is on sale for $99.99. You save $32. Their Nutra Cafe is also on special this week, and it costs only $10.99. In addition, they are still offering 15% off on cases, and 10% you get just by being one of our listeners. That's a 25% discount, ladies and gentlemen. Never forget, your body is your most important possession, and its optimal health stays very dependent upon being well hydrated with pure water. Now, the guys at Enerfood are selling the Big Berkey water filters, and you can call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238 to order any of their health specials or the Big Berkey water filter. What will you aid in achieving the best health possible is to stay informed. And never forget, everyone, that your body's the temple. Give it pure foods and beverages as God nature intended, and see your body, mind, and spirit once again enjoying the joyful state of health that is a blessing.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. Welcome to today's program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. Today is Tuesday, October the 5th, 2010, the year of our Lord, and you are tuning in to the Watchman's Cry program. My name is Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. I want to thank Steve Quayle and Steve St. Clair for allowing me to share in this time slot, and as the Lord allows, I will be bringing this Watchman's Cry program to you at this time, 6 p.m. Central on Tuesday, so please tell your friends about it. For the past three Fridays, I have filled in for Steve Quayle, and now thanks to your positive responses and your comments to him, we're going to now be visiting every Tuesday. Real quickly, I want to say up front that we are living in a very late hour, folks, and most of you already know that. I do not have to convince you of that. Most of you are very smart. Most of you are already on board and online with what's coming, and most of you also understand how important it is to have a relationship with God. I myself am a Christian. Jesus is my Lord, and I am not embarrassed to say that. And right now, he is trying to get everyone's attention that will listen. And as long as he allows it, I must sound a blast of warning to tell the world of coming events and to challenge all that will listen to prepare their hearts now. There's no more time to waste, folks. And every one of us needs to be attending to the Lord's business in our lives right now. Those of you with the ears to hear, I'm going to share what that business is. I have a lot of things that I want to cover. They're in a lot of categories, and one show will not cover all of them. It's going to take many shows. But I want to challenge all of you to be active with your to-do list right now. I want to challenge all of you to enlist in the final hour boot camp now. not a boot camp of the physical, but a boot camp of the spirit. And that boot camp consists of many attributes and tools that you will need to possess in the coming season. Endurance is going to be a sought-after tool and a sought-after attribute. And you need to have that endurance, my friend. Who am I? I'm just a voice. A voice trying to challenge God's people. A voice trying to warn the wayward. And a voice trying to feed those that are spiritually hungry. Again, the website is watchmanscry.com. And if you want to know my heartbeat, and if you want to know how I think, what I believe, go there and look around. Listen to the many free audio messages. And as you do, I really believe that you will find that your heart bears witness with the warning cry that God has placed within my heart. Folks, God is raising up His remnant right now in the last days. And He wants His remnant to be equipped to endure what's coming. And over the course of this program's upcoming shows, I plan to share many, many things that you need to hear. Things that you will not hear on mainstream TV news or on Prosperity Gospel TV. Now you might be asking, Nathan, why do I need to listen to you? And actually, let me qualify that, folks. Please just listen to the words that I share, but then, as you take notes, take those words to God, and in prayer, ask Him to confirm the things that I share. Confirm what, Nathan? Well, ask God to confirm the warning that you hear me talk about. That's right, folks. I have a warning. I have an alert. I have a siren that is blasting an announcement. And what is that announcement? What is the message? It is this, folks. We need to all get prepared to read frightening words on newspaper headlines in the days ahead. And it will not just be one headline. It will be a barrage of different episodes and responding aftermaths that will include all of us as participants. Why do I warn? Because your outcome will depend on the assets that you are acquiring now, right now. And the assets that you need to possess span several categories. They span physical preparation assets, and they also include spiritual assets, mental strength assets, and also assets of knowledge and wisdom and even common sense. There's a lot of homework required for all of us, my friends, and it's not going to be easy. And many of you are going to need to make choices and commitments to prepare. And many of you are also going to need to make sacrifices to prepare. And this is what we're going to talk about here on the Watchman's Cry program. And this is what I have been talking about in my many audios located at my website. Now, today we're going to talk about several things. But first, I want to say that I know that many of you are very smart. And many of you come from a variety of backgrounds. And many of you are at different preparation levels. In fact, some of you, I would probably be very happy to have as a neighbor. That is, if you're a nice person. I guess I should qualify that. So, I do not wish to imply that this audience is ignorant, because I know that a lot of you are very smart. But the thing that I need to challenge all of us with is that our source of knowledge needs to come from the standard of God. It needs to come from Jesus, from His scriptures. My friends, the Holy Spirit is my choreographer, and He shares things, and He teaches me things as I pray to Him and as I study scripture, just like He does for you, for those of you that are on board with a relationship with Him. So, in saying that, the Holy Spirit has also revealed that America is in trouble. Very, very deep trouble, folks. And the reason that America is in trouble, the reason it's in a mess, is because they have abandoned the God of their fathers. And now America is stuck in the mire of sin, and it is entrenched in lost morality, in corruption. Therefore, the present story occurring to America right now is a divine event, and God is part of this equation. Hence, we need to have God's involvement in our lives to weather this storm that is occurring right now. We need knowledge of scriptures in our hearts. You need to have His Word hidden in your heart. Because if it's only in your head, my friend, I'm sorry that I have to say this, but you may not endure. You're going to have a much harder time. And the hard truth of the matter is that those that do not have the Scriptures in their heart and only their head may see themselves destroyed and overcome with an overwhelming burden and weight from all the things happening. Folks, in the next few months, in the coming years, the landscape of America is going to change. The landscape of the world is going to change. And the rules are going to change. The rules of society are going to change. We're going to see people throw away their social graces and replace them with barbaric, selfish mentality. Many of you may find yourself also tempted to do the same thing. But becoming a barbarian at the expense of your relationship with God exceeds the cost of your soul. And may I even be blunt for a moment? If you do unwise things during this coming crisis, you will also perish. And here's the sad part of the matter, folks. Unfortunately for some, in the future, the herd will be thinned out because some individuals will die from lack of wisdom. They will perish from lack of foresight, from lack of insight, and from lack of knowledge. What does this mean? Folks, we all need to be obtaining some smarts right now. So how does this happen? It happens one way, through the Bible. How do you figure that, Nathan? The Bible's only for old people. Not so, my friends. The Bible is full of a lot of advice. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom and advice for human relations and even for survival. You really think so, Nathan? Yes, I do. Let me give you an example. In the future, we are all going to find ourselves having to make choices. These choices will not be easy choices, but they will have to be done quickly. They cannot be reactionary choices. They have to be choices based on the moral compass we have inside of our heart. And here's an example of some hard choices, folks. In the future, you may need to know when to make a stand, or when to stand down, or when to flee, or when to be stealthy. And deciding which one to do is going to take wisdom, and it's going to take being able to hear the voice of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit talking to you. But choosing to react without wisdom may get you or your loved ones killed. Folks, this thing is very real. And it is also very real that to endure, you will need a partnership with God. And as I'm talking about this right now, I have even thought about some topic titles that I would like to address in the future, but here's a few of them. Bugging out, God and you, or did you leave God behind? That's one topic right there. Here's another one. Bugging out, rules of engagement, or should I shoot everything that moves? Interesting, huh, folks? Here's another one. Bugging out, should I have a code of conduct or turn into a pirate? You see, folks, if you are a person that calls yourself a Christian, but the landscape is going to be very different, that doesn't mean that our Christianity is going to be a half-measured attempt to please God. We need to have a code of conduct. We need to have expectations. We need to decide now who we're going to live for. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how dark it gets, and no matter how scary it gets, folks, you need to make that commitment now, and you need to find that now. Because if you do not make that commitment with God, my friend, you will not find peace or bravery in the future. Yes, it's easy to put on a front of a warrior soldier, but my friends, your footprints are going to tell the tale of the tape for your life. They're going to show and record your journey. Your footprints are going to show where you've been, and they are going to also dictate where you're headed, where your destination is going to be, how successful you'll be at that destination. It's all about choices, folks. And as Joshua said to the children of Israel many, many thousands of years ago, choose you this day whom you are going to serve. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. My friends, you need to discover that for yourself and allow God to be your source of strength. I have shared already in a previous broadcast several times that the Holy Spirit has revealed that in these coming dark days, we are also going to see a time of very dark vexation and oppression on people's lives. We're going to see people who are depressed and will not be able to shake it off. And my friend, if your mental strength right now is feeble, and if your mental strength right now does not have victory, it's going to be much, much harder when these events even begin to find victory. That is why it is so important now, my friends. Many of you might be the leaders of your family, and many of you may have loved ones depending on you. You're going to have to lead by example. You're going to have to show your leadership and your strength in God. So, my friend, I want to challenge all of you, to all the patriots out there, to all the Christians, to all the Christian patriots, all of you that are listening, I want to challenge all of you to be examples. Be examples now. You need to take that mantle of the role that God has given you and be the leader of your household. Talk about these things with your family. Talk about these things with your spouse, with your children, with your friends. Talk about these things with your friends at church. I can't say it enough. I do not know how many sessions we are going to have together, you listening to this broadcast. I don't know how long the internet's going to be up. I don't know how many more weeks we have or months, but we have to do everything we can right now. Do not treat this just like doom radio or conspiracy theory sensational radio for the week. My friends, I want to challenge you to activate yourself and recruit yourself and join the ranks of God's army so that you can do what you're supposed to do. I talk to a lot of people that I check in with from time to time, and I ask them, so how are you doing in your preparation to-do list? And more often than not, the majority of them are doing nothing or very, very little. And you know, folks, it's frustrating. I know that not everyone else has the urgency that I have, but unfortunately, most people will not get on board until the lights are out. Yes, that's right, folks. Most people don't buy a generator until after the tornado wiped out their town or after the streets are flooded and the power's out from a hurricane. Most people do not even know their neighbors until an event like that happens. They live next door to someone or someone two or three houses down from them for years, and they never meet them. And then when the power's out, they finally meet them. So that's another word of advice right there. Side note, folks, get to know your neighbor. You need to find out right now if they're going to be a friend or foe when these things happen. Folks, we need to communicate with the people around us. And it's not that hard. You know, your parents and your grandparents used to know their neighbors. It was a normal thing before video games and TV occupied everyone's time when they got home. But now, most people don't know their neighbors. In the Bible, people knew their neighbors. When Israel left Egypt and went into the wilderness, every Israelite went to their neighbor and asked them for silver and gold, and their neighbors gave it to them. Boy, that was a good reward for knowing your neighbors, wasn't it? In the scriptures, we see the story of a widow who was down and out, who had a miracle from God, from the prophet, and was able to sell oil to her neighbors because she knew her neighbors. Folks, we need to be doing these things now. We need to be seeking wisdom now. If I were to ask you, are you preparing, and you said yes, let me ask you this question. Aside from the faucet, do you have any other sources of water if the faucet stops working? Do you, my friend? How about this? Do you know anyone in your area that raises their own eggs or farm animals that you could go barter with? Do you have that knowledge in your quiver? Are you familiar with your surroundings? Do you know which places to stay away from? Do you know which ways not to come home from work if the power was out? Folks, I'm asking some hard questions, but these questions are questions that wisdom should be answering. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, they sent spies, and they spied out the land. They took notes. They made observations. During military campaigns, the military has maps, and they know the landscape. This is what I'm talking about, knowing some things, having wisdom, having knowledge. It's not just about listening to these programs. It's actually doing these things. And here's a hard one. Here's one for you to think about. What are your rules of engagement when all this goes down? Are you going to shoot everyone on sight because you can't wait? You know, I get emails from a lot of you folks that show that you're almost bloodthirsty. You can't wait to engage with your weapons that you've been saving up and the bullets that you have hidden all over your property. Have you thought about that? Have you talked about it with your loved ones, your family members, fathers with your sons? Well, of course, Nathan, anyone that comes on our property means to do us harm. Really? Well, let's turn it around. What if you're the traveler? Think about it, folks. Everyone talks about their quote-unquote bug-out bag. I have my bug-out bag ready to go. So let's say you actually bugged out and you're on feet, so you're walking. Here's the question. Where are you going to bug out to? Well, I know where I'm going, Nathan. Okay, let's say you're going there, but eventually you may have to knock on a few doors. Eventually, you may have to knock on a door and ask for maybe some water to refill your canteen or to warm up your dried foods. And what if the door that you knock on has decided that anyone that comes up their driveway is the enemy and they're going to blow them away? What if they decided to shoot on sight and you're the thirsty one? What if you lost your bug out bag while you're traveling and you need help? I believe that most likely you're going to want them to be nice to you. You think? And here's a weird one for you folks. What if the door that you knock on also listens to this show? What if they're a remnant Christian just like you? What if they could actually be an ally? A lot of what ifs, right folks? So therefore, since you could be walking and knocking on a stranger's door, let's turn it around. What if it's them that has listened to this show, but they had to bug out, and they're on their feet, and then they come up your driveway, and they need help? Are you going to shoot them? Are you going to shoot everyone? You see, folks, it is going to be so important to have a code of conduct, to have rules of engagement, to have wisdom and knowledge. And for that very reason, all of us, you included, needs to have a relationship with God so that God can help you to process all of this information. Folks, it's about discernment. I know that some of you might say, well, if anyone comes up my driveway, I'm just going to tell them, keep on going, keep walking, don't come up here, don't come in my property. Perhaps you will do that, but what if they have children, a traveling family? Do you have meal packs that you can share in case a family passes by? Man, Nathan, you want me to just give away everything? I didn't say that. I said, do you have meal packs that you can give travelers? Perhaps you can trade them for things. Do you have anything to trade? You might ask them that. You see, folks, when this thing starts up, when the landscape changes, the barter system is going to become the underground economy. And by the way, if you are traveling, this is where possibly a silver coin could come in handy for you. It could help to disarm some suspicion. Again, my friends, there are a lot of things to think about. Man, Nathan, those scenarios you're painting are actually scaring me. You really think it could be that way? I am most confident there are going to be refugees relocating. We are going to see Lamentations happen in America. And during Lamentations, we saw the relocation of people fleeing for their lives. We've seen this during many empire collapses. And actually, I should correct myself. That's what we're witnessing right now. We are witnessing the collapse of Empire USA. So please, folks, please know this. If any one of you thinks that you can successfully weather the coming storm without God, you are mistaken. And if you happen to be an enemy of God and you want nothing to do with Him and you can't wait for things to happen so that you can plunder others, I have a message for you. Please know this. This period is a divine appointment. It's a divine event. And if you are not on God's side, you will be destroyed. God will see to it. Now, folks, another rule in the way that God deals with man. God does use humans as His hammer of judgment on the evil ones. What does that mean? Exactly as I said, God uses humans to be a hammer on evil. And I am most certain that in the future, He is going to be using some of His people to be His hammer on evil ones as these events unfold. Some of you may even face this. By the way, side note, in my opinion, I believe that it is the job of a father of a family to be the hammer of God when all other options have expired. Nathan, when you say hammer of God, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about, folks. When a marauding thug element of evil society decides to make your house their next target, and at 3 a.m., they decide to open your window and come into your house. This is what I believe, folks. The instant that a robber crawls through a citizen's window, then that citizen then becomes the hammer of God. The task of relieving society of these types gets translated to the man of that house. And whatever means he uses is up to your creative mind. But that's what I believe, folks. The origins of America were paved with frontier justice, and it kept the crime levels down. But our society has advanced, and frontier justice is no longer a part of our culture. But as the events unfold into the collapse of America, we once again are going to see the remnants of the Old West return. Now, I'm not trying to say something that sounds unholy or unloving, but folks, this is the real world. And as that evil is unleashed, every one of you are going to need the shelter and the protection of God so that you can know how to deal with the evil. Now, preferably, the ideal way to deal with it is that you are under the Psalms 91 bubble and it does not come nigh your dwelling. That is the ideal scenario. But if for some reason you have breaches in your walls and in your fortress, you're going to need wisdom, folks. And this is another reason why, unless God specifically tells you, it would be wise for you to leave the city when the social order breaks down in the future. Those zombie marauding gangs will be having a heyday in the inner city in the future. You may be able to fight off some of them, but it's going to be difficult to fight off all of them, which is another argument to get out of Dodge. Or, in the case of Lot, Abraham's nephew, try to get out of Sodom. Nathan, you're scaring me. My friend, I'm not trying to scare you. I just want to light a fire under you. And as I was saying, every one of us needs to get full of the scriptures now and not only have it in our head, but have it a part of our life so that it can help guide us. Let me give you some examples of some wise counsel from the book of Proverbs. Chapter 14, verse 2. It says, "He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises the Lord." Okay, Nathan, that's pretty simple. I agree with that. Evil people despise God. What else you got? Verse 6, how about this one? "A scoffer seeks wisdom, but does not find it." You see, folks, a person who hates God, who doesn't have faith in God, whose heart is full of unbelief and darkness because their life is dictated by their flesh, by sin, these kinds of individuals may want wisdom from God, but they are not going to get it. Their eyes will be closed. The wisdom of God is a treasure, and the evil ones do not deserve it, and they don't get it. But it goes on, "Knowledge is easy to him who understands." In other words, understands God. Knowledge is easy. So if you understand God, you have faith in God, you love God, and he's in your heart, and you're attaining to repent and live for him, you will find this knowledge. My friends, I could go on and on, but what I am trying to communicate is that those that call themselves Christian patriots that are waiting for the lights to go off need to have wisdom and knowledge from the scriptures. They need to be sharpened. All of you need to be sharpened. Your discernment needs to be sharpened so that you can know immediately how to deal with things. Folks, this is very, very serious. So as you can see, just listening to a conspiracy theory radio and preparation radio is not addressing what I'm talking about right now. But what I'm talking about right now is the real thing. This is the diehard stuff that you're going to be seeing and facing. God is allowing me to speak to you right now and to the world because these things need to be said. We need to visit these things now. By the way, as you can see, I am not a pacifist. But I do believe in the wisdom of God. I do believe in Ecclesiastes. There is a time and a place for everything. There is a code of conduct that the people of God need to adhere to. So please, folks, please hear my heart. And please know that I'm saying this out of love, out of concern, and out of obedience to what the Holy Spirit has instructed me to share. Now we're at the halfway mark. And after the break, I'm going to be talking about something else entirely. I'm going to be talking about an event that is going to be coming. Please stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Hi, this is Steve Quayle. Don't become a perpetual profit center for the system that's ruining our country. Now, I'm no socialist, but what these large corporations are doing to us and our country is horrific. Pharma Inc., Food Inc., Psychiatry Inc., you name it, folks. It's all about making money no matter what the cost, including poor health for all of us. I mean, how much evidence do you need? From the vaccines they're trying to force us to take to the genetically modified seeds that are ruining not only our food supply, but the small farmer that works to get us safe foods. It is time for all of us to take responsibility here and act to protect us and our family's health. The time is nearer that you will wish you had listened to those of us with warnings. One of our sponsors, EnterHealth Botanicals, has products that will get you prepared for any tough situation, from natural to man-made disaster. Enter Food and coconut milk powder, both incredible super nutritional products that will keep you going. It will extend the life of your dried foods immensely. The Berkey water filter is a must-have in any household. Water just doesn't come out of the tap always, and you can't count on it. Berkeys don't require power, just any kind of water. Their filters and gravity do the rest to clean it up. These guys have great products at EnterHealth, all aimed at getting you to optimal state of health and out of the system. Stay healthy and don't allow the big corporation to clean up on your bad health. Go to survive2thrive.net, that's survive2thrive.net, and click on their banner for special discounts. Give them a call at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Thank you.
Welcome back, folks. Before I continue, I want to thank Steve St. Clair of EnterHealth Botanicals for sponsoring this signal and for sponsoring this show, the Watchman's Cry program. Steve St. Clair and EnterHealth has many remedies for you that want to be healthy. And his company, EnterHealth, has many items that you might find of use. He has energy foods, superfoods, immune boosters, total body detox remedies. He also has survival packs and Berkey filters. So he has some things that you're going to need, especially in the days ahead. And if you find yourself fighting a flu or a cold, he has some immune boosters that can help your body really fight it. So go check them out. His website is survive2thrive.net. That's S-U-R-V-I-V-E, the number 2, T-H-R-I-V-E.net. Or you can call them at 866-762-9238. Give them a call, folks. Now let's move on. In the first half, we were talking about having the wisdom of God and having knowledge and how important it is so that we can not do foolish things when the lights go out. Folks, it's very important that we do not, because in the darkness, it's easy to stumble and trip, and we need to do all that we can to have the lamp of God helping us and guiding us through the turbulent times that are coming. Now, I've noticed on the calendar that it is already October. It means autumn is upon us, and it also means something else that I was reminded of just a few days ago. Because it was on Saturday, I went into town and I went into the local Goodwill store to do some shopping with my wife. And the first thing that I noticed when I walked into the Goodwill store was there was a gurney from a hospital right in front of the doors as you walked into the store. And there was a mannequin laying on the gurney. And it wasn't just any mannequin. This mannequin was the body of a simulated rotting corpse. It was disgusting. And next to it was a life-size robotic witch, about 5 feet tall, with glowing eyes. Her arms were going up and down, and her head was going back and forth. And it was freaking out every customer that walked into the store. So I walked over to the cashier, and there were people in line. She was helping people. But I walked up behind one of the customers she was waiting on, and I just blurted out, "Why do you have to have that?" And the lady looked up at me, and she said, "Why do I have to have what?" And I pointed to the gurney with the dead body on it, and I said, "Why do you have to have that? You scared my little baby," which it did, folks. I have a 4-year-old daughter, and we had to cover her eyes. And the lady said, "Well, because it's Halloween." And I said, "Yeah, in a month from now, that display's disgusting." I couldn't help it, folks. That's what I said. And immediately, all of the other people that were in line looked at me. About 20 people stared at me, and I could see it in their eyes as they were all looking at me. They were thinking, what's his problem? And then I could hear them whispering to each other, Halloween's supposed to have this. My kids like it. He can just leave if he doesn't like it. So then I walked past the cashier and I caught up with my wife. And then I turned back and I started noticing every employee was dressed up like either a witch or a sorcerer or a warlock or a harlot. So I asked my wife, I said, what's going on here? Why is everyone dressed up? We didn't know why they were dressed that way, but they were all staring at me as I was talking to my wife. And then I told my wife, you know what, hon? This place is full of demons. Let's get out of here. Because the people, as they looked at me, seemed to have zombie-like stares on them. So we did that. We left. And as I left, and as I got into the car in the parking lot, and we were leaving, I began to think about how lost and blind and pathetic this nation is. And as I thought about it more and more, I was actually starting to become grieved. And it made me sad. Because all of those people really believed in what they were doing. They loved what they were doing. And if anyone talked against them, they were met with anger and disgust and an argumentative spirit. And as we read the stories in the Bible about Israel participated in Baal worship, we read about how Israel would have their celebrations to Baal and how they would actually have their kids walk through the fire, how they would have seers and mystical events, diviners, necromancers who spoke to the dead. They had Halloween. So I had to ask myself when I was thinking of Israel, is America any better than Israel? And I would have to say, no, we are no better than Israel. America now parades herself and celebrates that she's progressive. We have many of the progressive liberals, those that consider themselves free thinkers. They're so educated and intellectually advanced that they consider Christianity an outdated proposition. This free thinking society has inundated America. And I would venture to say that the majority, not just 51%, folks, a high, high number of people consider themselves progressive free thinkers. And they may call themselves Christians, but whenever they compare themselves or their Christianity toward liberalism, they pick the left. Now, why am I bringing this up? Nathan, you sound like Rush Limbaugh. This is why I'm bringing it up, folks. Today's economy is a train wreck. And it's in dire need of divine intervention. But that's beside the point. You know why, folks? Because people are not going to ask for God's help. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 36, it says, they who hate me love death. Those who hate God love death. Now, does that mean that they can't wait to be in a coffin and die? Possibly for some it may mean that, but for the majority, what it actually means is those who do not love God have a fixation with death. They love the elements of death. They love the fashion of death, the decorations of death. What do you mean, Nathan? Here's what I mean. Skulls. Skull fashion. Skulls on t-shirts. Skulls on baseball caps. On dresses. On pants. On belt buckles. Skulls on motorcycles. Skulls on decals on people's cars. Skulls on people's walls. Death entertainment. America loves death. I see it when I'm in town, folks. Whenever you're in the store, just look around. Entertainment from Hollywood is infatuated with death. We have the series of the Saw movies, the franchise of Saw, part 1 through, I don't even know where it's up to now, part 10. And then we have the Freddy Krueger series, the Halloween series, death slasher movies. We are in a culture that loves death. And that culture is here in America. Congratulations, America. You have given birth to the future of America's culture of youth without a conscience. A culture who worship entertainers and musicians that hate God and they're full of confusion and anger. We have other clerics that love death. They paint their hair black. They have the gothic makeup. They dress in black. Marilyn Manson, I don't know what it is, but he's kind of freaky. He's confused. He's blind. And he's headed for hell. Lady Gaga, Britney Spears. I could go on and on, but today's entertainers have a fixation with the flesh. And you know what, folks? That's just one little container of sobering truth about America's illness. Those who hate God love death. That's the problem. And all the voices out there talking about this problem and that problem, do not want to get to the root of the problem, which is a sin problem. But God has had enough of it. So God has begun to punish this country and the West and this world. God is going to judge His church, and then He's going to judge the world. And there have already been subtle signs that this thing is coming. I shared on a previous broadcast that God revealed and showed a great darkness of pitch black clouds coming over the sky, and they started dripping upon the land. But I must also add to the interpretation that that darkness is also death that is coming, because America loves death. A few months ago, in the middle of the summer, the city of Denver, Colorado, and the airport outside of Denver, DIA, had the statue from Egypt, Anubis, the god of the dead. He was a 26-foot tall statue. How many of you folks remember seeing that? They set it up right outside of the airport. Anubis, the god of the dead, with the head of a jackal and skin charcoal black. This statue was set up in the middle of the country for a period of time. And before that, Anubis floated in a barge in New York Harbor and went past the Statue of Liberty. So he made his little tour. And then I believe he was in California. He's been in other places. But America has announced that the God of the Dead is walking to and fro across American soil. Now, the reason that this statue was paraded and on tour, it was part of National Geographic's tour of King Tut's souvenirs. And that tour is in Denver, in a museum in Denver right now. And it's also in a museum in New York City in Times Square. And I believe it might have also visited San Francisco. And last year it was in some other places. But this is a tour of King Tut's souvenirs. Egypt is on tour in America. By the way, prophetically that says a lot. America has returned to the spirit of Egypt and the spirit of their God, who is being promoted and cheered and paraded. People line up to see this thing. This false God who cannot see or hear represents death. And America loves it. They are fixated with it. America has a fixation with death. The condition of men's heart is desensitized, and it's apathetic in America. You know, folks, when that death cloud begins to arrive and it gives birth to the black whirlwinds, those that have been apathetic will become those full of mourning and full of tears. But by then, it's going to be too late. And this is what I want to talk about. Are you apathetic? Are you desensitized? Do you have a fixation with death?
Nathan, what's apathetic mean? What do you mean by that?
Here's what it means. As long as it is not happening to me, I don't care. And most people are guilty of this. Most Americans are guilty of this. And pretty much most of the world is guilty of this. As times become more perilous, the apathy that is in the men's hearts is going to become more evident. What do I mean by that? Because we are going to see open violence taking place on the streets, and most people are going to ignore it. They're not going to care. We're going to see open display of gangs and thugs beating the helpless while others just walk by. The great darkness is coming. The great evil is going to be released. Demonic spirits in a whirlwind are going to be thrust upon the land. We're going to see death. And most people, they will only care when it happens to their household, which is what we saw happen during Nazi Germany. Concentration camps were raised up in many neighborhoods in Germany. And that same apathy was also evident in the citizens. The citizens chose to look the other way. The citizens could smell the burning flesh coming out of the smokestack chimneys down the street from their house, and they ignored it. Did the locals say anything about it? No, because they were apathetic. Folks, this is coming to America. Now, please know this, my friends. This is what I need to communicate. How you react now to evil and sin may determine your fate when the lights go out.
What do you mean, how I react?
This is what I mean. When you see a public display of evil, how does it make you feel? Do you say, well, we are in a free country, and then you leave it at that? Or do you whisper a prayer to God? Here's another question. When you drive past an abortion clinic, an abortion mill butcher shop, how do you feel? How does it make you feel? And since we are talking about abortion clinics, I want to talk about one in particular. Today, in Houston, Texas, by the way, Houston, congratulations. You get the trophy for this one. In Houston, Texas, the largest abortion butcher shop
in North America has been opened. It's run by Planned Parenthood, and it's called the Planned Parenthood Prevention Park. And it's located on the Gulf Freeway, on the way to Galveston. The address is 4600 Gulf Freeway. It's a six-story building, and it's 78,000 square feet of rooms and halls and shears and vacuums and salt solution and zombies with lost souls murdering their children. The second largest abortion clinic in the entire world. The only one bigger than them is the one in China. So this is what I want to talk about for a moment. Those of you that live in Houston, Texas, those of you that live in the Houston area, I have this question to ask you. First of all, did you know this was in your backyard? And then if you did know it, first of all, it's kind of hard to drive past this building and not know it because it's a six-story building and they have the giant words Planned Parenthood across the top, 10-foot-tall letters. So it's hard to miss, right next to the freeway. So this is the question I have for you. As you drive past this building, how does it make you feel? Do you look the other way? Do you glance at it and say, huh? Is it a casual part of your conversation? Oh, look, there they are, as you are on your way to whatever you do. Most likely, it's all of the above. And it's unlikely that it is another thing. And that would be this, that tears would come to your eyes. How many of you have tears come to your eyes? How many of you sigh and cry when you pass it? How many of you feel grieved and embarrassed to live in the same town as this place? Nathan, it's not my fault. They built it. I was here first. That's true. But I'm talking about your response. God has made it very clear as I share the warning message that the only way anyone is going to find His mercy is on an individual basis. That's it. Only. Period. Dot the I and cross the T. That's it, folks. And there's something else that He also has shared with me. Over 2 years ago, He made this known. He brought me to a passage of Scripture that had the heartbeat of a remnant soul in it. It described the heartbeat of one of those that He would protect. And I want to talk about that for a moment. It's found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. And I'm going to read this passage real quick, and then I'm going to talk about it. Ezekiel 9, verse 1. Then He called out in my hearing with a loud voice. This is Ezekiel talking. Saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. So this is the voice of God calling to the angels that are watching over the city. And suddenly, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. So after that proclamation was made, let those who have charge over the city draw near, six angels appear, and they had weapons in their hands. One of the six was a man with a writer's inkhorn. It was a ram's horn filled with ink. You know how you saw those in the old days? They would stick a feather and write with it. And they went and stood beside the altar. Verse 3. Now the glory of God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And He called to the man clothed with linen. This is the guy with the inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the middle of the city, through the middle of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men, and watch this, folks, who sigh and cry over all of the abominations that are done within the city. What did that mean? That means the angel with the inkhorn was supposed to go up and down the streets of Jerusalem and walk through the doors of every house and examine the hearts of every man in there, every person. And the people who sighed and cried over the sins in their town, He put a mark on their head. He marked them. Verse 5, to the others, He said in my hearing, go after him, meaning go after the angel with the inkhorn, and throughout the whole city and kill. Look at this, folks. Kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Slay the old, the young, the maidens, the children, and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And start in my sanctuary. That means start at the church. So they began with the elders, the oldest, who were before the temple. That means the priests were in there and they got whacked also. And He said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. So they went out and they killed in the city. Now, 2 years ago, the Holy Spirit of God shared with me when I was talking to Him that this story right here is going to play a role in the future events as America falls and goes under. What I mean by that is God told me to tell you that are listening, tell every one of them that He is going to mark those that sigh and cry. So now let's talk about practical application of this. When you drive past an abortion clinic, Do you sigh and cry? Or do you casually take another bite out of your Whopper that you're eating while you're driving? Think about that, folks. And if you do not sigh and cry when you see this great evil, and if God's angels were marking the population right now, would you get marked and protected? My friends, this thing is very, very real. For those of you that want to argue, God doesn't mark His own. Oh, really? Read the book of Revelation and tell me that's not true. God is going to seal His own during the tribulation period. During judgment times, He does also seal His own. Now, why do I bring up Houston's abortion mill butcher shop? Here's why. I find it very interesting that Houston has the largest butcher shop in the nation, and they also have the largest church in the nation. Joe Osteen's sleeping, hypnotic, false prosperity gospel church. We have a temple, a defiled sanctuary, and we also have an altar toward Baal, where children go through the fire and are sacrificed to the God of convenience. So with those two things in mind, my friends, I also want to add this to what's going on. I have had several dreams of Houston having a destructive event. I have seen a dream where a refinery was on fire. I have also seen another dream where a refinery was underwater. I have also had another dream where an entire neighborhood was charred black and destroyed, where nothing was left. Do I know what those events are and when they're going to happen? No. But I have this pressing desire to share this because in the last few days, for those of you that live in the Houston area, you heard the story of a barge that ran into a power line along the Houston Ship Channel and essentially almost knocked the power line over, and it shut down the ship channel for 3 days. It's either 3 days or 5 days. Houston's going to lose $1 billion. Now, the barge that hit the tower was full of steel, and there were three barges, and the boat that rammed the barges into the tower was called the Safety Quest. Interesting name. Reminds me of the verse, while they are saying peace and safety, sudden destruction will come. But the Safety Quest tugboat rammed the barges into the tower that had power in it. Fortunately, during this event, the power was off on that electrical tower, but it shut down the entire ship channel, that one event. And I was thinking, the Houston Ship Channel is the largest channel as far as oil and chemicals that are transferred in the entire country. It is the biggest port that transfers oil. It is the second largest port by volume, but when it comes to oil and the oil industry, it's the largest thing. And the thing that's interesting, folks, is one little tiny ship shut the entire thing down. And if just one event like that could shut down the economy of the ship channel, what would happen if an actual attack happened at any of the refineries in Houston? I saw refineries burning, my friends. I also saw them underwater. And by the way, these were prophetic dreams. And I also had another prophetic dream saying essentially that America will die in the Gulf of Mexico, which the ship channel is attached to. The Houston Ship Channel is attached to Galveston Bay, which empties into the Gulf of Mexico. So as God continues in the judgment that is going to take place across the country, we are seeing areas hit harder than others. At this point in time, Houston has not really been affected. But what if, because Houston, you have the largest abortion mill in the country and the largest megachurch that is a joke to the gospel of Christ, what if God decides that it's your turn? How many Houstonians listening to me right now are ready for something like that? How many of you sigh and cry and you have made it a point to be marked by God? Now, for the record, I am not saying that I know something is going to happen there. I'm just asking the question. That's all. I've had prophetic dreams about it. I saw this event happen, and then I saw the barge do what it did in the ship channel. And then when you throw into the equation what I just mentioned, that is lining up for not a very good formula. I also know this. A very dark event is going to come and take place in this country. I do see that eventually we are going to see some cities in America get attacked. We're going to see it happen, folks. Is it going to happen by rogue elements? Will they be countries that do it or radical groups of terrorists that do it? I don't know. I just know this. An event is coming to this country. And the watchmen right now are on high, high alert. I have spoken to many people recently that are all feeling in their hearts and in their spirits that something is coming. A very, very big event. And it's going to affect all of us. And when it does arrive, my friends, this is the question I have. Have you done everything you can to find God's favor, to find God's mercy, to find God's forgiveness? My friends, God has an observation post in heaven, and He's watching every one of your hearts. He's watching you. He watches you when you get up out of bed, when you get in your car, when you go to work, and the places that you go. He sees it all, folks. When you call your wife and say, I'm going to be a little bit late, God knows where you go. God knows what you're doing. God has divine scribes making note of all of this. And for those of you that say, who are the divine scribes? Those are the servants of God, His angels, angelic secretaries, who are recording all of the deeds of men and who are recording all of your deeds. My friends, every one of us daily are sowing seeds. We are adding to the record, to the chronicle of God. Every one of us every day are being marked, or we're not being marked. There's no escape, my friends. Marked by God. Mark those that sigh and cry. Mark those that are grieved. But those that are apathetic, leave them alone. So a final question to all of you. Are you a part of the problem? Are you one of the individuals that are parading America's guilt on you? Are you supporting America's guilt? Are you financing with your purchases America's guilt? Are you harboring America's guilt in your heart? My friend, you're either harboring these things in your heart or you're grieved. That's it. I know that this is a very heavy message that I'm talking about right now. I know that I threw out some hard challenges, but there's no other way to put it, folks. It is time for a hard challenge right now. We're beyond the tickling of the ears, and it's time to get down to business. If you haven't heard any of my messages on my website, a few days ago I recorded a sermon for all of you, and I invite you to go to my website. If you haven't heard it yet, please go there and listen to it in its entirety, my friends. It's message 157. It's called Drifters, Highways, and Hedges, and that message is found on watchmanscry.com. That's watchmanscry.com. Go there and listen to it, my friends. The whole purpose of that message is to bring hearts back to God, to help people understand the dire situation that we are in and the dire situation that people are in with cold souls and leanness of soul. Please go listen to it, folks. Well, it looks like I'm out of time, but I invite you to set your calendars. Every Tuesday, 6 o'clock Central, we're going to be here talking about these things. Folks, the time is running short, so let's get to business. Tell all your friends about this program. Visit my website. Well, God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.